And good morning, good morning, good morning. And it is time now to get things buzzing here with our city gang today. We're all spread out, which is, I guess, a good thing. We're going to do some distancing, as it were. Mike Bailey, how are you doing today?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, 6 feet away from you.
We are as far apart as we can get, huh? We're back in the studio, brought the city staff back. I've been hogging all the glory for the last couple of months and haven't brought them in, so I'm sure they feel the same way. They really look forward to the radio, especially when I give them 15 minutes notice that I need them to come with me. That's their favorite part of this.
Surprise.
That's it. They were both kind enough to not tell me no. I don't want to know what they said afterwards, but they didn't tell me no. That's all that matters.
What we got cooking?
Well, you know, it's certainly been an interesting, I think you and I were chatting, and I said it's been an interesting few weeks. I think you're right. It's more like an interesting 3 months, but the last few weeks have certainly had a lot of momentous events. We'll start out with the easy stuff.
Okay.
I say the easy stuff. This was the most severe thing, or the most significant event that we had going on recently. It was the COVID events. And I think it would have been a week ago. We had our city council meeting. We considered the COVID measures, the mitigation measures that we had in place as a city. And the council essentially repealed all of our restrictions. Now, that doesn't mean that there are no restrictions out there. What it did was removed all of our restrictions that were over and above the state's plan. So the state has what they've referred to as the hours plan. That plan is still in place. That is something that the governor is marching through. They are now in phase three of that. If anybody wants to know more about it or what it requires or what it recommends, that would be at okcommerce.com, and I believe it's /hours. That is really the only restriction for businesses or people in general right now. The city ordinance, there were still a few sections of it that were in effect as we went into phase three. The council went ahead and removed all of those. So at this point in time, we do have some restrictions on our facilities as far as how we're operating, but there are no laws that impact how a business would operate, at least as far as the city of Bartlesville is concerned.
Very good.
So those are, we're starting to move through those. I checked the numbers this morning. We had a little bit of an uptick last week. And then over the weekend, it looked like things had flattened back out again, which is good news, especially as you go through these reopenings. You always want to watch for the number of cases to increase. And I don't think that any of us doubt that there will be an increase in the number of cases. The council's focus was always on ensuring that the number of cases didn't overwhelm our healthcare system.
That was the whole plan anyway.
It really was. And they were very clear about that from the beginning, that their concern was to ensure that anybody who needed healthcare for whatever reason would have it available. You saw it happen in New York where the hospitals were overwhelmed, and that's why their death tolls were so high. We didn't want to be that. We never approached it. So, again, the rollback at this point in time seems to be appropriate, and we'll just continue to monitor that as we go forward. I've heard a lot of things about we could expect a resurgence in the fall, and I don't know. All I know is that we will watch it and take action if necessary at the time that it becomes necessary. So we'll hopefully be putting that behind us. Again, it's not over, but at this point in time, our restrictions are lifted on the citizens. One of the things that we did was to recognize that there was a health crisis, but it was also going to lead to an economic crisis.
Understood.
And the Bartlesville Development Authority was tasked with coming up with a plan to help our local businesses to ensure that we didn't have a lot of closures. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of an unnecessary unemployment in Bartlesville. There's unemployment everywhere at this point in time, unfortunately. The BDA is taking a very long-term look at this, but in the short term, one of the things that they did was to create two programs that the council approved last Monday. And I'm sure you guys talked about this on the radio, but this is the first time I've been in here. So the BDA Economic Recovery Task Force recommended a utility assistance program. The utility assistance program was really pretty pretty simple. It doesn't require any action by a local business. Really, all it states is that if a Bartlesville business was current on electric, water, and gas utility payments as of February billing cycle and now carry a past due balance, the past due balance will be paid. So essentially, anybody that has fallen behind during this crisis, the BDA will pay your bill on your behalf. They won't send you the money. They will send it directly to the utility office. So the total cost of the program is expected to be less than $150,000. But hopefully this will help our businesses to have a clean slate as we begin the recovery. And hopefully that will provide a little bit of an assistance to them. The second program that they came up with was essentially a loan guarantee program. And this would help our small businesses to get a loan. And this would be for some businesses who might not have had access to this. They might not have had access to the recovery loans that were available. What the BDA will do is they will guarantee up to 75% of the loan. So if you go in to make a $10,000 loan, they will guarantee the bank that they will pay $7,500 if there's an event of a default. So the idea is to make these loans available to just about everyone in Bartlesville. The maximum loan amount is $25,000. The BDA will pay the interest on that loan for 12 months. Now, you don't need to call the BDA to get enrolled in this program. You will actually go to your bank. Go to your bank, visit with them, let them know that you're interested in the program. If the bank will agree to underwrite you and you meet the BDA requirements, then the BDA will agree to this program. So I think these are both really great short-term programs. We don't know how long this economic crisis will last or how severe it will be. So at this point in time, it was important to get something in place. But I think David Wood said several times that it's important to do something, but it's also important to do the right thing.
I understand that we also had a nice cushion in case we needed it due to a rainy day fund.
Yeah, so there are actually a couple of them. The Bartlesville Development Authority had recently closed on a real estate transaction that had mm-hmm. resulted in a pretty good sum of cash for them. This doesn't even utilize that at this point.
That's a good
time.
Thing. Yeah,
yep, that's right. So that's still out there in the event that it's needed as we move through this recovery. The city of Bartlesville, and I don't have Jason here with me today, but I'll bring you back next time. We'll talk a little bit about budget. That we also have a rainy day fund that is for operations. And that is something that is essentially a savings plan that was set up at the end of the Great Recession. We went into the Great Recession with about $800,000 in reserves. We found that was insufficient. So the council and the staff came up with a plan to incrementally increase that savings over a period of time. And we are now going into this economic crisis with $4.4 million in reserves. The great news is that we were in such good financial condition, even though we expect a downturn in sales tax, we're able to contribute to that fund this year. So we're not taking from it. We're going ahead and contributing to it again this year. At the end of this year, we hope to have about $4.9 million. We believe that provides us with a significant cushion going forward. It allows us to ensure that we didn't have to go through layoffs. We didn't have to create furloughs for our employees. We were able to protect the services that we offer to the citizens of Bartlesville. So we're very comfortable where we are right now. A lot of conversation about that with the council, and I think everybody feels really good. It's nice when the decisions that you've made and the sacrifices that you've made over a 10-year period, they actually pay off. Doesn't always work out that way.
So. I was going to say there are a lot of cities, like 90% of them in America, who are not in the same boat we are.
They're certainly in much more of a bind than we are. So we're very pleased about that. But again, it really was something that was established over a period of time. So you certainly don't want it to deplete it. That's not the intent.
No.
But again, it offers everyone a great deal of comfort to know that that's there as we go through this. So in a little bit of lighter news, we had the Tower Center is now open.
Beautiful
facility, fantastic facility. It's been used a number of times. I believe the first event was a day of prayer type event out there. Mm-hmm. I see it used almost every day right now. So that's the great news. Granted, it's getting a little bit hot, so you might not see too many people in the afternoon. But in the mornings as you drive by, there's typically a group out there. I've seen some church groups and people of that nature out there who have been praying. And so it really is a really is a pretty fantastic space, and it's full of potential, and there's a lot of events booked there, and you know, it really is a great feature for Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
And no sooner than that thing got open, it quit raining.
Yeah.
It has not rained a drop.
Could have used a few more dry days. We'd have had it open sooner. You're exactly right. It was fantastic. It did not stop raining during the entire construction of it. So that's it. You're exactly right. Now that it's built, we have to start watering it because it quit raining. But speaking of the Tower Center over the weekend, as you well know that you were present for both of these. There were a couple of marches in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Yes.
And these were the result of the killing of George Floyd and the protests associated with that. And I don't want to talk a whole lot about those. I realize they've been covered, but I did want to take a moment and thank, first off, the citizens of Bartlesville. We have seen evidence of looting and rioting all over the United States of America. None of that happened. It was never even close. These people showed up. They were respectful. I really was very proud of our community on both nights. I also was very proud of our police department. They were involved in this from the very beginning. The organizers did a great job. They reached out to the police department. They asked us to help. And the police were more than willing to step up. There was a lot of manpower available on both Friday night and Saturday night. To ensure the protesters and the participants' safety, and to be prepared in the event that anything did go wrong. And I'm very proud and very pleased to say that, frankly, nothing did. This is the model of how it should be. We are all guaranteed constitutional rights, and one of those is the right to assemble. And these people did so, and they did it the way that it's supposed to be. So I really am proud of our community. I really am proud of our police department. And I'm grateful that it went the way that it did and not the way that we've seen in other communities. So Bartlesville is a unique community, and it continues to surprise me.
It does, doesn't it?
I was very pleasantly surprised. I can't tell you the amount of preparation that went into that by the police department. I realize the organizers made an incredible effort as well. I didn't witness that. They weren't part of the city, obviously, but the police department, the amount of preparation, the amount of people that were available that night, the sacrifices that they made as well. A lot of police officers gave up vacation, days off, so that they could be available. I think the only bad thing that happened was that it was so hot on Saturday night that we had police officers who were having to pick up marchers and take them back to their cars at the community center so that they could get cooled down.
I saw a couple of those, and I also saw our officers handing out wet towels for people to place around their necks and bottles of water for those who were struggling.
I loved it. I mean, that's the kind of thing where a community comes together, and it really is. It's the model for what you want in those situations. So, like I said, didn't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I wanted to express how proud and pleased I was of everybody that was involved in that. And another event over the weekend, and Keith's going to get more into some of these, but we had our Frontier Pool opened. It really apparently went very well. I wasn't there.
I should have been there to christen it with a cannonball.
Yes, you should have. And I want to see it on Facebook Live when you do it.
There you go. What happened to the water?
But the YMCA and again, the city of Bartlesville work together very closely on this. And I think they've got a great plan in place out there. They have reduced the capacity. They've reduced the number of chairs. They're trying to get everyone to distance so that we can have these pools and we can do it safely. But it did open and apparently was fantastic. And the only advice that I got from Robert Phillips, he's the director of the YMCA, was to sit up straight today, and I have failed him. I'm sorry, Robert. There you go. I'm sitting up straight again. He said, do me proud, sit up straight, and I failed. and if you know Robert, you'll know exactly what that was. So one last thing before I turn it over to these guys who actually showed up to inform you all of things is we have some new sanitation trucks, and Keith's going to talk about this a little bit as well, but I found one of the things that was really humorous about the new sanitation trucks is that they don't operate, the arm is not quite as, what's the best way to describe it, Keith? Not quite as violent in its action.
It's a little slower the way it works, yep. Yeah.
And so when it returns the can, it usually returns the can with the lid closed. And so we got a lot of calls and a lot of comments that we hadn't picked people's trash up. The reality is that the vast majority of those had been picked up, but the can lid was closed. And so people came home, they saw that their lid was still closed. They're used to the old one, your lid's always open. That means your trash been picked up. And so they would go in, and they wouldn't even check their trash, go in and call and say, you need to come get my trash, you missed it. That was also compounded by our new trucks. We've always had a rule in place, haven't we, Keith, that said that the trash can had to be 5 foot from any obstruction?
Yes, since we started, we've had all the same ordinances.
But we've typically been able to work around that if you did get that too close to a car or to a mailbox. The new trucks absolutely require that kind of distance. And if we were to try to pick up a can that was too close to the vehicle, we'd probably damage the vehicle, wouldn't we, Keith?
That's correct.
So there are cans that we're not picking up, and it's because of those distances. You absolutely must make sure that your can is 5 foot from any obstruction. Keith, you've got our ordinance there, and I know you wanted to visit a little bit about it. I think I stole most of your thunder, but
oh, I've got more. So we got to physical distance our cans.
Yes, we do. There you go. 5 foot though, not quite 6 foot. So Keith, go ahead. Anything else you want to add on that?
Well, on that topic, like Mike said with the trucks, I mean, this has always been the ordinances that are in place, and citizens can view those at cityofbartlesville.org's website. There's a place there, a tab, you can go to the ordinances and look all those up. The key thing, as Mike mentioned, is we need 5 foot from parked cars, telephone poles, mailboxes, such as that. And the carts themselves need to be 2 foot apart so that we can grip them. So if you've got multiple carts, more than one, set those at least 2 foot apart. Another key area is all the trash is supposed to be bagged, everything in the trash, and that just keeps your neighborhood looking nice. So when we dump the carts, if you've got a lot of loose trash and paper in there, it's a windy day, obviously that's going to blow around your neighborhood, so bag all of your trash. The placement of the cart itself is usually against the curb in the street. If that's not available, you can set it up above the curb. And if that's not, you know, questionable to you, you can give us a call and we'd be glad to come out and look at the situation with you. And other thing is placement on the time. You need your trash out by 6 o'clock in the morning. Our guys frequently, you know, they're kind of like the mailman. You expect them at the same time of day, but things do happen and change, and sometimes we get there earlier or later. So it's important that you have it out there by 6 in the morning. It's important that you face the can towards the street. We have some people that are still turning them backwards. And when you do that, the trash, again, people are not bagging it. You need to bag the trash. When they're not, the cart, we can still pick it up, but when we dump it into the truck, all the trash falls on the lid, and then when we set the cart back down, all the trash comes flying back out of the truck into your yard. So you don't want that. So bag all the trash and set the cart where it's facing the street. And those are the most important things. And again, you can view all that at our website. If you have questions, you can give us a call at my office there at Public Works at 338-4130, and we'd be glad to help you. But those are some of the key things that's going to be enforced. We're going to gradually work back into it. If you come home and you've got a sticker on your cart, one of my guys has probably placed it there. Starting, you know, as soon as today, possibly you may come home and see that. We're going to go ahead and dump the trash because he's got to get out, put that sticker on there for today. But eventually we're going to shut that down to where if you're in violation, we will tag your cart and leave it. The new automated trucks also have a camera system on them, so we will have a picture. You know, a lot of people will call me and say it was out or it wasn't this or it wasn't that. Well, we have the ability now to go back and look, see what time the cart was out, see what the violation was, and we'll be able to track those things. So if you have any questions, again, give us a call. We'd be glad to help.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate it. Nothing has changed, but the new trucks really won't. They just don't operate the way the old ones do. So while we were able to give some discretion with the old trucks, the new ones, that discretion, we just can't do it. So we'd encourage everybody to do that. And like Keith said, please call his office if you have any questions. They're great to work with. I know that you and Craig personally, especially during the rollout, were going out and visiting with people and talking about where they could place their cans versus where they couldn't. So any questions, give Keith's office a call. And Keith, did you give the number on your office there?
It was 338-4130.
4130. So feel free to give them a call. Keith, also, as we've kind of began to wrap up some of our COVID restrictions, one of the things that we've been doing is to start to reopen our parks facilities. And we've done that gradually over the last couple of weeks. And so where are we exactly right now? What all facilities do we have open? Do we have anything that's still closed?
Everything is currently open. Started last week, and we started with Sooner, Johnstone, and Civitan. Those are kind of our more popular parks or areas that are used. Lee Lake also, the walking trail there. So all the park facilities are open currently. The restrooms are all open, and the playgrounds are all open. Now, I will say we do have a plumbing issue out at Joe Allen Lowe Park, so one of those I think is currently shut down, but it's due to a plumbing issue that we're working on. So we are disinfecting the restrooms every day, and we've always cleaned the restrooms daily and picked up trash in those, but we are, you know, still doing that and monitoring those. We're currently in the process of getting some signage that we're going to place around the playgrounds, and Lisa Beeman's been working with us, and we've got some signs ordered, and basically they say to play at your own risk. It says, stay safe, play safe. Parks are open, but equipment is not sanitized. Use at your own discretion. We are currently doing some disinfecting on those until we get those signs in place. But again, we just urge the public to be safe and look out for yourself. Typically, UV rays in the summertime should kill most everything that's out there. So I don't feel that it's a real high hazard. But again, we want everybody to be cautious and use some common sense. If you want, bring wipes, wash your hands, all those things that's been said in the past to continue doing those things.
Yeah, and it's a good point that our restrooms are sanitized daily, and the actual playground equipment and things of that nature, the vast majority of it is in sun at least part of the day, and that should be sufficient to sanitize it. But right now, for the shaded areas, we are sanitizing those to some degree. That won't go on forever, though. We don't have the manpower to keep up with the mowing and the maintenance and doing all the sanitizing. So while we will continue to sanitize the restrooms, eventually once we get the signs posted, then it will to some degree be play at your own risk. So.
That's right. We might also mention, Mike, that you mentioned Frontier Pool. And I think from what I've heard so far, I haven't talked to Robert yet, but I think it all went well. Everybody was excited to get into the pool. I would mention that the splash pad out at Sooner Park is also open. We got it open last week. Jack and the guys are in building maintenance and the park guys got everything up and running, and they were using it the same day we turned it on. They were already out.
They were ready to go.
The kids were splashing around, you bet. So it is open now. The Sooner Pool itself currently is not open, but the splash pad is, and it runs, I think, our normal park hours, 6 to 11, I think is what it is.
And Sooner Pool, that's the one. Of course, our plan all along was to open Frontier to sort of determine whether the demand existed for two pools. Especially as we get into, it'll be a shorter season at this point in time. I think we were going to evaluate Frontier through this week and then look to make a decision on Sooner. So it's not open, and at this point in time, we're not certain that it will be, but by the end of this week, we will certainly have a decision on whether we're going to reopen that one this year or not. So, but I'm glad we've got all those facilities open. So as far as the public is concerned, the only thing that's closed right now is Sooner Pool. And then we got one restroom out at Joe Allen Lowe, but that's due to a plumbing and mechanical issue out there. So, all right. Well, thank you, Keith. I appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And we've got Mr. Micah Seamers here, who's got a couple of pretty big projects that have either kicked off or are getting ready to kick off. And
yeah.
Micah, why don't we start out talking about one of probably the most anticipated projects that we've got, Downtown Streets. We've been talking about this one for quite a while. Mm-hmm. We were waiting for a drainage project and the Tower Center project and trying to get all those things out of the way so we could start our asphalt milling overlay there.
Yeah, we're finally there. It's been a long time coming, and I'm not sure if I'm excited or terrified. one's starting.
It's a big project, and it will involve a lot of disruptions. There's no doubt about it.
It will. It'll be a disruption for sure for a lot of people in the downtown area, but it will be a good project. Again, we're doing a milling overlay of pretty much all of the the Central Business District of downtown. So between Adams and Hensley and Cherokee and let's call it Jennings, excluding Cherokee, Adams, Hensley, and then Frank Phillips, which we just recently did a couple of years ago. So, but everything else in that area, you know, Johnstone, Dewey, Osage, Jennings, Keeler, let's see what else, 2nd, 4th, and 5th.
Yep.
And part of Silas. We'll all get freshened up. So we'll do a 2-inch mill. We'll mill off the top 2 inches. And then we'll go back with a new 2 inches of asphalt on top, restripe everything. There'll be some additional work, adding some bike striping and signage to connect Johnstone Park essentially to the Tower Center, and an eventual tie into the bike striping we just did on Frank Phillips going further west that ties into Virginia. So we're trying to loop in all of our trail system, all of our bike system and whatnot. So we'll have some striping for that. We call them Sheros. They're the, got the two right. chevrons that are with the bike symbol as well. So we'll add that work as well on Dewey, a portion on 2nd Street, a little bit on Keeler, but then also on 4th Street all the way out to Comanche. So we'll be connecting that to the Pathfinder trailhead out at Comanche as well. So
it'd be pretty awesome. Now, this is something that was recommended by, I can't think of the name of the group. Can you think of it right off the top of your head, Mike?
Oh, gosh, no.
It's a bicycle it's group the, here in Bartlesville.
No, is it not the peddlers. I can't remember.
Yeah, but a cyclist group, Rudy right. Geisler is
Rudy's involved,
involved in it.
Yep.
And they've studied this for years and had made these recommendations. So this wasn't something that we just decided to do. It's something that, again, has been studied over a period of time and has been a request of a group within the city of Bartlesville. And so,
and we are getting our feet wet. You know, I mean, there's more extensive bike lanes and whatnot you could do, but we're again, that group, at their recommendation, thought that the Sheros would be, or the shared bike lanes would be the good
the
way to start.
Best first step. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we're getting started on that. Also, as part of this, Micah will be doing some more landscaping.
That's correct.
I think this is phase two of our landscaping plan.
Yeah, phase two, right.
And this one is primarily along Frank Phillips.
Yes, yeah. So the first two phases were on 2nd Street and Dewey. So if you want to see what this will look like eventually, you can go peruse down 2nd Street and Dewey. But yeah, this will be along Frank Phillips, basically from Keeler to Cherokee. So, you know, really the main part of Frank Phillips that goes through downtown. And we're simplifying the landscaping downtown. Again, maintenance is an issue, keeping up with it, whether it's the, you know, the property owners of the city or a combination thereof. It's been a struggle to get that taken care of, and it's costly. And so we're doing away with the planter beds that are currently cut into the concrete. There's some trip hazards with those because they are raised, kind of a sloped
they have been an issue.
Them. And so we'll do away with that. We'll cut those out, remove the vegetation that's in those. We'll go back with concrete, sidewalk essentially through there, and then we'll go back with a limited number of tree grates more along the back of curb. So, again, if you want to check it out, go look at 2nd Street and Dewey, and that'll show you what that's going to look like through there.
The raised beds that are on Frank Phillips,
those will stay. Raised beds will stay.
So everybody understands that those will be part of it. These are just those beds that are between the corners,
that's
essentially.
Correct. And the vegetation, the plantings in those raised beds will be simplified somewhat as well. I think we're going to go back to some boxwoods and things of that nature. Probably do away with some of the trees that are a little bit of a side obstruction. Having some of the red buds in there, so... should be a good project though. Yeah, that's again, it's been a big coordinated effort between that project, the bicycle project, then the downtown streets, and then making that work with the downtown storm sewer that we just completed in the Tower Center. So,
and I guess we should mention this gets started June 22nd.
June 22nd is the official start for that.
Expected to take 6 to 8 months.
We're
starting in the southwest
portion. West corner.
And moving northeast is what we're
doing. Yeah, so really there at Jennings and around the post office is where we'll start, and then we'll work our way to the northeast. Try to get the stuff around Phillips, ConocoPhillips done on the front end and move our way east. Now the landscaping will start at Cherokee and work west. We want to make sure we have that figured out before we get to that area
before
around Painted
there.
Horse and Hideaway and things of that nature. So
okay, Micah, we're just about out of time, but real quick, Pathfinder improvement, where are we closing Pathfinder?
We are closed currently on Frank Phillips between Comanche and Silver Lake Road. That's the phase we're working on right now, and then we'll bump on over to Silver Lake after that.
And those will be a complete rebuild of those areas.
Complete rebuild on Frank Phillips, be an overlay on Silver Lake.
So great projects in the works, and we are out of time.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's great to have you back in the studio. And as things slowly but surely get back to normal, we'll gauge our progress and see how we do here in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much for dropping by today and continued good health and continued good work there, gentlemen. Right now, we are closing in on 10 o'clock. We have got the news coming up at the top of the hour.